The Orange FM.
Ready to form Voltron. Activate interlocks. Dinotherms connected. Impracel up. Mega thrusters are go.
Welcome, Voltron fans. It's the Let's Voltron podcast, and it's Mark Morrell, your host, and I'm here. Oh, I'm really excited about this one. We are going to have a terrific show for you tonight, and it's, wow, it might even go into two shows. It's that big. All right, so we have a very special announcement that just happened today. It came out on the Voltron Twitter account. Acid Free is doing another limited edition print, and this time it's by artist Dave Perillo. It's coming to a universe near you. It's Voltron, Our Key to Victory, a new limited edition print by Dave Perillo. We're excited to announce this new officially licensed print that is coming to you on Thursday, January 23rd at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So this Thursday, January 23rd, get ready for it. It's printed by the amazing people over at gicletoday.com. This professionally printed Giclée print will last a lifetime. Voltron will be an 18 by 24 inch print limited to only 150 regular edition prints, 25 canvas prints, and 5 extremely limited stretched canvas prints. We'll be offering a special surprise to 15 random collectors who order the regular edition. Dave created a special 5x5 mini print called the Mighty Space Mouse with a run of 15 that will be randomly inserted into orders placed for the regular edition. Also, there's a chance to win the original drawing of the Mighty Space Mouse with your purchase of one of the 5 stretched canvas prints. So stay tuned to our Facebook and Twitter. Stay tuned to the Facebook and Twitter on Voltron and the Facebook and Twitter also here at Acid Free Gallery. You can go there at twitter.com/acidfreegallery and facebook.com/pages/acidfree-gallery. There was one other special announcement I wanted to do. We had asked people to come up with ideas and suggestions on our Facebook account at Let's Voltron Facebook. And for the next podcast, Chitoy has sent out a request. She wants to send out a Challenge the Chi and offer listeners to pick out an idea for her to draw. She'll let the hosts, us, figure out what idea to pick on the next podcast. So she'll post the image on Facebook and after she's done drawing it. And this is our interaction with the listeners, and it'll be inspired by the podcast. So what do you think about that, Mike French?
I think it sounds awesome. I can't wait to see the results.
I think it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to seeing what ideas listeners come up with on that. And what do you think about the new Voltron print?
The new Voltron print is really cool. It kind of has this retro, almost like, I can't pinpoint if it's sort of like a 60s or a 70s cartoon vibe, but it's kind of got that classic, you know, television feel to it, a little before the actual Voltron period. I love the way it's melding the 80s style of Voltron with that kind of 60s or 70s animation pop art design. It's really neat print.
One thing that I liked is Acid Free does this a lot. When they get ready to announce a new print, they show a little snippet of the print. And it's just a little section of it, and they try to get you to guess what it's going to be. and I remember they made the little snippet, just that little green planet over on the right far side of it, and you could tell it was in space and everything, but you couldn't tell what the white part was. And it's just really cool. It's got all the colors. The V is in red. The O is in blue. The L is in green. The T is black. The R is in red, the O is in blue again, and the N is in green. It's just another fantastic print from Acid Free Gallery. Hey, Mike, I hear we have some special guests today.
I'm going to introduce the first special guest, give him the honor of introducing our keynote speaker, as I would call him. I always love connecting with Jeremy Corey. He is the face of Voltron, even long after he's been officially gone from WEP. But his enthusiasm always punches through. He's always a joy to talk to. He's always upbeat, positive guy. Just love hanging out with Jeremy and talking Voltron with him. So I'd like to welcome back Jeremy Corey to the official Let's Voltron podcast for this episode.
Thank you, Mike. That's right. Like a stain in the carpet, you just can't seem to get rid of me, huh? So I am happy to say I listened last week to your awesome and very thorough history of Voltron toys that you guys did. So bravo there. I was subscribing on iTunes and listening and giving feedback on Facebook like all the listeners should be doing. But that just really was an education from just, you know, the original Poppy, I guess it's called, Mike. How do you say that right? Poppy?
I've always said Poppy just Poppy? Because I thought yeah. Poppy was two P's. So.
All the way up to, of course, the centerpiece of Voltron's 30th anniversary this year, and that is the Toynami 30th anniversary gift pack that our good friend, and I'm pleased to say, our first truly special guest, that's right, the man himself, the crazy madman, the passionate toy robot genius himself, George Sohn, is joining us on the line. George, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, Jeremy, and thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you guys today.
Well, you've been such an integral part of really remastering and creating Voltron collectibles that are, as I like to say, better than the ones we remember it as a kid. So thank you so much for joining us here, and we're excited about the upcoming product.
Oh, we're very excited here too. You know, it seems like it was just yesterday, Jeremy, that we were talking about, you know, doing a 20th anniversary, and looking back at that, that's over 10 years ago, you know, so it's exciting times now. I'm so grateful to be part even of the 20th and then the 25th anniversary, and here we are now celebrating this year the 30th anniversary. Like always, to begin with, I was always a fan, grew up like every other Voltron fanatic, you know, running home after school trying to catch Voltron on TV because I couldn't get my damn VCR to record. And, you know, so thank you very much for having me. And I think, you know, for all the support that WEP has given me in the past and then having faith with me again to be part of this 30th anniversary is, you know, unimaginable, and I thank you for that opportunity.
Absolutely. And Mark, I know we've had a lot of feedback from Facebook followers and Twitter. We've got some questions from fans that we're going to throw to you. But first, I just want to talk about a little bit what you alluded to just now there. You know, nobody loves giant robots and mecha as much as you, George, and nobody puts the passion into the products that you do. I just want to, you'd mentioned Voltron really being an integral part. I remember talking to you just about Shogun Warriors and things like that, but yes. You've always kind of come back to Voltron. What was your approach in designing back when we first started working together back in the day? You, as Mike alluded to on last week's podcast, you really kind of took the best of all the Voltron toys and put them into one sort of, you know, uber toy.
Well, you know, growing up, to be honest with you, I didn't really own the original Matchbox Voltron as a kid. My first exposure to it was the Go Lion. Then, of course, I discovered it on TV, and I was like, oh, my God, you know, this is such a great robot, such a great show. I mean, through the years, I guess all the flaws that I discovered from whether it was the Bandai Godaikin collection or the one that was made in Asia, I thought it was just right that if I had the opportunity and I had my own toy company, why not go back and do something from my childhood that really kind of got me to where I am today? And out of all these properties that we've has passed through our hands and all the properties we've had the opportunity to be part of, I would have to say, you know, Voltron was instrumental in my childhood as far as getting the influence to, you know, to the robot world. I think I personally own over about 480 robot pieces. And I mean, that just, of course, everything from, you know, the Godaikins, the old Poppy pieces, the Transformers, I mean, to the GoBots, to Machinder Robo. I mean, I have all kinds of robots, even from the 60s. And out of all of them, I always kind of look back and reminisce on the Voltron brand, because it's actually, you know, embedded in my childhood. When I had the opportunity, what was it, 13 some years ago to approach WEP, to be honest with you, I wasn't really sure if you guys were doing anything with Voltron, but I was just ecstatic to be able to come and produce what I thought was the, you know, at that time to be the ultimate Voltron piece.
Exactly. And I don't remember the details, but how did you approach it? It was probably Tiffany at the time, I'm sure. What was your kind of sales tactic in, George? How did you win them over with your excitement for Voltron?
Well, we were going through this phase in the early parts of Toynami where I was going after properties, you know, obviously properties I grew up with. We first acquired the rights to Robotech, and that is, as you know, through our good friends at Harmony Gold. And, you know, we had a very good track record of doing, you know, transforming toys. And up the alley also was, you know, Voltron. And I was like, oh, my God, I got to do Voltron, because we had done, like, the Hanna-Barbera old cartoon series, like Thunder the Barbarian, the Herculoids. I was just kind of moving through the 70s and then into the 80s. And then, you know, there were a lot of properties I was trying to find back then in the 80s, like, you know, Thundercats and all these other 80s shows like Battle of the Planets. And of course, Robotech and Voltron was on my list. And out of the blue, I just happened to come across Tiffany's phone number through an associate or through a friend in the license business. And I gave Tiffany a call. I didn't really know how that was going to go. She ended up taking an appointment with me in New York, I think. I've been exhibiting at the New York Toy Fair for over 20 years. And so she came to see me, and I just gave her a pitch and said, hey, look, this is what we do. We concentrate on a lot of 80s nostalgia. Love to add, you know, Voltron to our library and our portfolio. I think we can do a killer robot. And to be honest, I didn't even know it was a 20th anniversary when I first spoke to you. I think Tiffany mentioned to me, oh, well, that's great, because the 20th anniversary is going to be coming up. And I said, oh, wonderful. I'd love to design something for that. And it just, the rest is history, I guess.
Absolutely. And like Mike said last week, fans really considered the Toynami piece as a way to have their childhood, but better, as many of those were frankly inaccessible to a lot of kids back in the day just due to the cost. And now that we're all grown up and have big boy jobs, or at least can mow a couple lawns, we were able to get access to this. What was your design philosophy in back when you first, you know, broke the mold here? What did you want to bring to the table with a new Voltron toy?
Well, you know, I think in all honesty, when Toei started to create the animation way back in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, now correct me if I'm wrong, Jeremy, but I believe it was originally designed as a toy by Bandai, and then they created this animated series around this Go Lion or Go Beast, you know? And so I think in that sense, there was this product that they thought, hey, would make a great show or a TV series and so forth. Back in the day, a lot of toys were done that way. They created a toy and then they created the animation around that. With us having the animation already created, I didn't focus so much on trying to make, you know, the toy based off the animation. I more or less wanted to go in there and create the lions in a different aesthetic way where they would be more appealing to the eye. I mean, I wanted, my problem with the old Godaikin or even the Matchbox Voltron was it was so bulky and clunky. It didn't have that sleek proudness of the cats, you know? And so we went in there trying to engineer a way to still stay true to the classic look of Voltron, but at the same time, make the cats look a little bit more sleek and dynamic. And as an end result, I think we've come up with I don't know what the terminology is, but it's definitely more dynamic than the old school 80s version. Of course, along the way, we've had different plastics that we could use and different technologies that weren't applied in the 80s. So we utilize as much, you know, technology of modern day manufacturing that we could to create the 20th anniversary.
Absolutely. And while the, you know, main Masterpiece Edition is probably what most fans know Toynami and everything you've done for Voltron through. I can remember we also did the series of I-Men back in the day. That was that before the Masterpiece even came out?
Let's see. We actually worked that almost around the same time, I remember. I don't know which one shipped first, but I remember us working on a skew of stuff, and that was one of the items that that was in the works. I think it might have come out the same year. Yeah. The Masterpiece actually sold for 3 years or 2.5 years that we sold through it before we sold out of the in complete run. And everybody knows, you know, it was limited to 15,000 pieces. So we didn't, we sold through those. And I think the I-Men, I don't remember the original production run on that, but I would say if it wasn't the first year, it was the following year after the first shipment of the Masterpiece.
Yeah, and I can remember, of course, in addition, you had kind of your throwback vinyl versions, whether that be the small little vehicle Voltron ones, and you did a lot of cool variants for San Diego Comic-Con with sort of the yes. night vision features and whatnot, and then, of course, the giant Shogun Warriors-inspired vinyl Voltron, and or I guess we yes. labeled it Go yeah. Lion as we were about ready to sign a deal with our buddies at Mattel, so we had to maneuver around and kind of, I can remember that, the Go Lion coming out and the Dieroger as well. So it's been a winding road, but it's great to sort of come full circle and back to Toynami. And I know the fans are excited, and I definitely want to get to the questions they have. But I guess I speak for Mike and Mark when let's talk about this 30th anniversary and some of the 30th anniversary Masterpiece Edition and some of the upgrades and design touches. I know the stand is something we've always wanted to do for a long time, and then the sound chip and things. What was sort of your goals for the 30th toy?
Well, you know, again, likewise, I was very flattered to be part of the 30th anniversary. You know, I think when I spoke to Tiffany about this, I didn't really honestly know what the situation was between WEP or Mattel. I wasn't sure if they were renewing. I wasn't sure if you guys were moving forward with them or looking for another Voltron partner. I, to be honest with you, Jeremy, I can't even recall how this discussion came up, but I think out of the blue, Tiffany was talking to me about my plans for New York or something of that nature. And then she came by to visit and we ended up discussing, she had mentioned to me that she wasn't, they weren't moving forward with Mattel. And I said, wow, if there's an opportunity for me to be part of Voltron again, I'd love to do it. And then she had reminded me, or maybe it was you that reminded me. I don't know. I know we've had some discussions in the past, and somebody at WEP mentioned to me, oh, you know what? Voltron's going to be celebrating their 30th anniversary coming up in 2014. And so I was like, wow, okay. Love to be part of that. And I think it was just about a year ago that all of this conspired, because I'm getting ready for New York Toy Fair next month. And I think it was a year ago or about 11 months ago when I was speaking to Tiffany about this. So, I mean, it's amazing how time flies. I mean, 11 months did come up pretty quick. And I mean, I think because of the time restraints also was another reason why we, decided to bring back the tooling and the molds from the 20th anniversary and do some upgrades with it, as well as add some parts that we had prototyped way back in the day but never released. And, with the combination of all this, it was possible for us to come out quickly with the 30th anniversary commemorating, you know, this year for their 30th anniversary of Voltron piece. Otherwise, I mean, if you had to do this from scratch, it'd take over 20 months in the making. I think when I did the 20th anniversary, we spent almost over a year R&D before we started tooling. And then that was another 5 or 6 months of tooling and QCing before we actually got a test shot. So, in a way, you know, I a lot of people say, well, what's the difference between this and the 20th anniversary? I mean, there's a lot of difference. We carried over a lot of the same things that everybody loved about the 20th. We did go back and make the parts out of diecast, because I know, as you remember, after the 20th anniversary sold out, we came back and made a regular Voltron gift set made out of plastic. And that was at a lower price point. And we blew through thousands of those too. It's just, you know, we fans were like, hey, why can't we get the diecast? And I said, well, the diecast was only available on the 20th anniversary, and that edition's completely done. Of course, the 25th came along, and we did a repaint of the Voltron in plastic, but with metallic paint job. And some fans were happy with that, you know, but again, we realized that everybody just missed that retro feel of that die-cast weight, you know, and they've always said, gosh, why don't you make the die-cast Voltron? Because that's what we remember. No matter how beautifully aesthetically you make the robot, I guess it's just that memory that everybody has. You know, I've been approached at so many trade shows where fans have come up and seen our Voltron and said, oh, I had that when I was a kid. And I'm like, well, no, I don't think you had this when you were a kid. That was probably another version. He goes, nope, it's exactly the same size. I'm like, well, it's similar, but ours is truly different. And, you know, not to get astray, but back to the 30th anniversary, I think we were able to bring back a lot of the good of the classic, of the 20th anniversary, as well as implement a lot of the new accessories that makes it substantially different.
Right, that's when you hit them with the glowing eyes on the 30th here and just blow their face off.
Oh, yeah. You know, I always wanted to do that on one of the earlier versions. It was on a drawing board for years, but we could never find a way to make that thing work because you got to remember, back in the days, I mean, 10 years ago, LEDs just recently been cheaper and popular. Now everything seems to have LEDs in it. You know, I think along the time with technology, we're able to, you know, implement things that we want in our product that we probably couldn't have done 10 years ago.
Right, exactly. And tell fans who might be on the fence about, you know, well, you know, I've got the 25th and the plastic. I feel like it's enough. They're getting an entire, I mean, this really is a collector's set between the stand and the weapons and things that weren't previously available. And there's a lot of fun stuff going on there between the sound and things. What are some of the reasons that you would give collectors to upgrade?
Well, for fans who already have it, you mean?
Well, I'm saying the 25th, like me, or maybe, you know, I'm missing a lion and stuff, but I'm kind of like, okay, what makes this the 30th edition, the definitive one?
Well, here's the thing. I think the majority of the fans really love to have a Voltron with some substantial weight to it. I mean, this thing weighs over a kilo, you know, it's a complete robot. And so I think they'll be very impressed with the weight and the way it's built and the die-cast parts. There's nothing, as far as die-cast-wise, that we've changed anything different from the 20th. But obviously, for fans who didn't have the opportunity to buy the 20th and they ended up buying a Voltron collector set or either the 25th anniversary set, you know, here's the opportunity again to buy a die-cast Voltron. Now, obviously, there's fans out there who are going to say, well, I've got a die-cast Voltron. I've got the 20th. I'm like, okay, well, great. Then you have a wonderful piece. There's nothing wrong with the 20th anniversary. I think that was a beautiful and wonderful piece and really holds its value to this day. Why are we releasing it so similar to the 30th? Well, there's certain things that, I always wanted to do in it. I like the light-up eyes. You know, I always wanted to add some chemistry to it. In our Masterpiece collection, not to get off from Voltron, but back in the day, 10 years ago, when we did the Masterpiece Robotech collection, I was able to run LED lights into those masterpieces for Robotech. And I was so happy that we were able to implement that because it added so much life and character to those Veritechs. I really, really wanted to find some way to do it for Voltron at that time. But to be honest with you, We just couldn't come up with something that could be self-contained. We were searching for other parts to put the batteries in other areas of the lion. And, of course, the transformation of the lion head was very pinnacle for Voltron. As, you know, it's the main face of Voltron in robot mode. So we thought dearly about how we were going to do it. At the end of the day, I decided, you know what, let's just move forward. We don't want to miss the celebration of the 20th anniversary. It was that commemorative year anyway. And so we moved forward with that. And I was never able to implement that LED light up feature at that time. Now I'm glad that I was able to come up with something different and implement that design, as well as give the accessories to all the lions like we originally wanted. You know, the lions, I think a while back in the 25th, we designed a base and we designed the weapons for the mouth blades that go into the lion's mouth. So there might be fans who may have seen it debut years ago at one of our trade shows or even at Comic-Con. But the reason we didn't release it was because of a cost factor. We got a lot of resilience from retailers who basically are saying, well, look, you know, yes, you came out with a masterpiece diecast and you justify it. I think in back in the day, it was $150 retail. Some retailers were selling as much as $200. And then we came out with a gift set that was much more reasonable for collectors. It was $80 retail. And the 25th anniversary may have retailed as high as $100. But back then, putting that base and all those weapons and accessories would have pushed over that sweet spot retail. And everybody was telling me, no, we want to keep it for $99.99 or under. If you add all this stuff and it's going to go up, we'd rather not have that stuff. So, you know, sometimes in the real world, you know, unfortunately, you know, you got the collectors who want a certain thing, and then you got buyers who basically support the market and getting these products out there who want another. And so you have that conflict, and it's always difficult as a manufacturer to find that sweet spot in between to satisfy the collectors as well as satisfying your retailers who are going to basically, you know, support and bankroll this production. So that being said, that's why we never released it. And, you know, I had the opportunity to do this. If I always told Tiffany, I said, look, you know, if you ever gave me the license again, there were so many things we developed that we just didn't have the opportunity to get out. Just give me the chance to finish up some of these projects. I'd love to really finally conclude, you know, do justice to Voltron the way I always wanted to. I think I came up with so many items, but just didn't have enough time to release everything. That's the honest truth, you know?
Right, right. And now this base features the sound file as well. I can remember going in and to the original sound files and trying to get the right beeps and interlock activation as well. Tell fans what that does when you take the key.
Oh yes, that's awesome. You know what? In fact, I may have that sound chip.
this is only on Let's Voltron podcast, folks. You'll hear the debut of the actual sound. Mike French, are you ready for this?
I am.
You know what? I'm gonna hopefully within the next week, we'll update some photos of the latest version of the 30th anniversary in the box. And maybe we'll do an unboxing or something. If you guys want to, maybe I can find a way to video that and YouTube it, and you guys can just share that with the world.
That would be awesome.
Because I think a lot of the fans would love to see it in action. And yes, Jeremy, I mean, thanks to you, you were able to dig through all those DAT files or sound files for me and give me the original files for our base, because, you know, it was just tough to get this thing done. And even after you gave it to me, I had to do some sound editing just to get everything coordinated. But I don't know if you guys can hear this. Let me see the batteries in this thing. We've added a pin, you know, there's that pin you can wear now. And that pin transforms to that badge actually transforms to a key that you insert in the front portion of the base. There's a little rectangular section that's recessed in there where you insert the key after you transform it. And then once you slide it to the left, let's see here if you can hear. Let me see if you hear anything. And then there's going to be a little delay, and you'll hear this delay every 10 seconds just to remind you that the keys are. Do you hear the lions?
Yeah, absolutely. I wish that was my alarm clock as an adult.
So as long as you leave the key inside the base, you're going to hear that lion roar, and then the base lights up every 10 seconds. But just to let you know that you know it's left on. So you can simply turn it off by sliding the key out to the right and off of the. You can still leave it on the base, but you don't have to slide it into the slot.
That's awesome, but, and it just mimics that, activating the interlocks perfectly, inserting the keys. That's just really, it gave me a little tingle, you just doing that right here on the official Voltron podcast, folks. We premiered it for them, so that's great, and I look forward to seeing that, some of that stuff. The unboxing is a great idea. Fans can, of course, follow Toynami on Facebook at facebook.com/Toynami, as well as your Twitter handle. It's at Toynami World, right, George, I believe?
Oh, yes, possibly, yes.
There we go, possibly. This George, he's playing with his robot, folks. Well, I want to get to Mike and Mark, who have some questions from the fans. They want to learn more about the release date, availability of the 30th anniversary, and some of the thoughts behind there. So, Mike and Mark, I'll turn it over to you and the fans for questions with Toynami's George Sohn here.
Hey, Mike, why don't you get us started with the questions that you got from the official Voltron Twitter account?
I've got a few. Seems like everybody really wanted their questions sent over to the Facebook, which is good because that means they're much easier to capture. One of the questions that I have off the Twitter is from one of our biggest fans, KX, and they wanted to ask George, what is it going to take for fans to prompt Toynami to come up with a larger toy line around this masterpiece? So in other words, for around the 30th anniversary, come up with, I think they're implying, action figures and other vehicles. Is that a possibility? Is that something that we might see from Toynami?
To be honest, Toynami would love to participate in all of that. We are doing some figures in other properties now that are more like 3¾ scale size. Be honest with you, I'd love to do some Voltron that way. We'll just have to see how the market bears and accepts this 30th anniversary. And of course, we have other partners now because DreamWorks is also involved with the Voltron brand. And it's all contingent to seeing if, they're willing to give us more categories to manufacture. So as far as if you're asking Toynami, we're open to all kinds of ideas.
Yes, believe me, George would go absolutely insane and down to the – he'd have die-cast Mousetrons out there for fans like KX, which is it's a great question. It's just, unfortunately, we all are fans and we're 9-year-olds at heart, but there are sort of, big boy business contracts and things that sort of, tell you what you can and can't do at the time. So believe you me, George would be unleashing the lion. And who's to say some stuff could come out. So the best thing you can do if you want more Voltron toys is to pre-order your Voltron toy at Voltron.com. So that's how you can make more stuff happen.
Do you guys remember when Star Wars came out with a line called Unleashed?
Yes, that's right.
They were some pretty cool toys there, and pretty cool actions that those figures were already sitting in the box. And I would love to see a Voltron Unleashed. That would be great.
Well, that reminds me of the bookends you did, George. And I remember going through every Robeast and just the kind of research that you put on there. No, you found the one that attacked the Castle of Lions, the elephant beast with the snout guns. Yep. And everything. So that's just the attention to detail that Natai and the whole team over there at Toynami does. But anyway, next question. That was a good one, Kayax. Thank you.
I just wanted to follow that up with a question, George. Can you give us a hint of what and this is a question that's kind of like a summation of it's a hybrid of a lot of questions that I've gotten in the survey. What can we see, or what do you foresee in the future for Toynami to do after the 30th anniversary of Voltron? Is that something you can tell us?
Let's say this, Mike. We are working on some really exciting stuff for Voltron. As far as is it all going to come out for the 30th anniversary, it may not. Only, like I mentioned earlier, sometimes it does take over a year to R&D and produce some of these products. We kind of came on board very late in this program for the 30th anniversary. I think, like I said earlier, we secured this deal just a month or so or weeks before San Diego Comic-Con in July. So we've had only literally 6 months to ramp up quickly to get this product out here for the 30th anniversary. We are prototyping now a 24-inch kind of a jumbo blow mold, somewhat of your Shogun Warrior-ness Gold Lion or Voltron Lion that stands 24 inches tall, comes with the shootable lion heads and the red and green lions. It's got little wheels at the bottom. It's never been done back in the 70s, but it's very similar to what Poppy did with their Gold Lion in Japan, except that ours is has more of a updated dynamic pose. I mean, not pose, but more dynamic look to it. And of course, back in the days, they did do a blow mold 24-inch version, but it shot missiles out of its mouth, and the heads didn't really fire. So we're kind of taking both of the old world and the new world of toy making and releasing a 24-inch jumbo Voltron that should hit retail this summer. I hope to debut it next year next month at February Toy Fair, at least in its prototype form.
Hey, George, really, really quick here. I want to ask a very important question that I know Mike is thinking about right now. Can that 24-inch Voltron hold the blazing sword without falling over?
You remember those? You know, when LGN released one, like they basically took the old molds back in the day, and they produced that one on a remote control. I think, wasn't it, Jeremy? They put it on a remote control base.
Well, yeah, and as we learned last week from Mike's excellent podcast, it wasn't so much a remote control, right? It was just pretty much corded to it.
Yeah, the remote control was the platform it stood on. It's like a remote control tank box. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, right now, that's the give and take. This version that we're doing, now we haven't finalized the accessories to it, but there might or may not be a sword that goes with it. Now, the only reason I say that is because it either would have to be a very small sword, because if you did it to scale, 24 inches, you got to look at the robot, 24 inches. And that sword's got to be almost two-thirds of that height. So we're talking like another 18-inch sword. That's a massive sword, minimum, to right. put with this. If I was not making the fist shoot and we could secure the hand a little bit better, then maybe, yeah, we could put the sword in one of the hands and not make it shoot. But then again, I don't know. The fans have always been saying, why don't you make a Voltron that shoots its lion's heads? I mean, that's one of those things that I've been personally asked all the time. We, our vinyls don't shoot. Our 20th anniversary masterpiece did not shoot, nor did the 25th anniversary shoot. And so, I was like, well, you're right. It'd be cool to, because that's another thing that everybody remembers for some reason is those lions shooting.
They lost the heads.
that's another reason why too. So basically, to answer your question, I mean, I hope, I don't know, maybe we could take a poll. Maybe there's still time to decide. Maybe we make the red lion fixed and we secure it so it can hold a sword, and then maybe just the green lion shoots its head. I don't know. I mean, it's still up for discussion. We're just basically doing the 3D model right now, and hopefully we'll get that outputted by the end of the month and get a prototype out on display for February in New York.
You realize you just opened a Pandora's box for all the fans to come and ask you everything that they want in a Voltron.
Well, I don't mean to, but I always love to hear the fans. I'm always open to it, and it's basically them that's supporting this brand, Yeah, indirectly, initially, maybe it's me trying to relive my childhood that I went ahead and applied for the license and make all these wonderful Voltron toys. But at the end of the day, I'm a toy collector, Voltron fan at heart, like everybody else out there. And, sometimes it does take a lot longer than we want to get product out. But that's only because I want to do the best I can for it. And at the end of the day, even if I'm opening up a Pandora's box, maybe we can find a way to manage the feedback. Or if I can go on once a month or twice a month, then that's fine too. I'm open to the idea.
We'd love to have you back again.
Well, yeah, let's keep it going with the questions, though. I know we've got a lot of fan feedback. What else do we got there, Mark or Mike?
We'll go with Mark.
All right. Well, I'm going to start opening up the Facebook questions. Mark Oliver asks, is there any plans to remake the Castle of Lions?
Well, that's a good question. You know, early, this kind of goes back to that first question. It all depends if we do have the rights. If we do move forward with some figures, then it just makes perfect sense to make a playset with it. But I can't really make any comment on that now, as we're still in discussions with DreamWorks about extending some categories. We've been allowed to move forward with some collectible items that they've already approved. I'd love to see a new set of Lions, but I'm not sure, to be honest with you, if we would get much support on it. It's kind of like the Dairuger or the Vehicle Voltron. You know, so many fans have written in and wanted for us to make a Vehicle Voltron. But at the end of the day, it's just, you know, I don't know if it's going to be cost prohibitive for us to make that sort of investment and then be able to amortize the production run on the numbers that we need to do. You know, with that being said, it's a tough call. It's a real tough call.
Okay.
Well, we're not going to give up the dream of a Vehicle Voltron Masterpiece Edition. So, Vehicle Voltron fans, we are listening. We are bugging George. We're sending him illustrations and other things. So we won't give up that fight. But what other questions do we got, guys?
All right. Gregory Tyler on Facebook asks, how about partnering with a company like Zika Toys or Funko Super 7 to make all new retro-styled Voltron action figures of the Lion Force and Vehicle Team heroes and villains?
Oh, well, that's not a bad idea. But honestly, you know, we are doing a bunch of old 70, 80s retro toys as well. And we're also planning to do, I think I mentioned earlier, we were thinking about doing some 3 3/4 inch. I think Super 7, I think they might be doing some 3 3/4 inch too. So, I mean, they're good guys there, but I don't know if I team up with them because they kind of be doing something similar to what I'm planning to roll out in our own, you know, licenses.
There you go. Maybe we could finally get those Panache Place Sven figure that we never got. We only saw in the catalog and all the other guys in that style, the unreleased.
Yeah.
Okay. Also from Facebook, Ryan Prinky asks, he says, we need more affordable Voltron toys. I would need them for my desk at work. What is the possibility of getting some affordable Voltron toys?
Affordable meaning like less than $10 or I guess.
Yeah, I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah. You know, we again, I you know, when I made my pitch to Tiffany at WEP for Voltron, we had over a dozen different categories and SKUs that we proposed for, and a lot of that ranged from, you know, $10 to, you know, $50 items, everything from figures to little blind boxes to vinyls to plushes. So I don't want to say that basically, you know, none of that is possible, but it's just too premature to discuss that now publicly until we can figure out, you know, what DreamWorks plans to do with the brand, as well as, you know, we are always here to support WEP and the Voltron family. So, you know, if they're asking us to do it, then we'll be there to do it. At the end of the day, you know, I appreciate the fans' feedbacks and all their questions and all these wonderful things they want to see on the market. Believe me, I too want to see these products on the market, and we're totally capable of doing it. It's just a matter of, I don't know what they could do. I guess just support the 30th anniversary and make sure that it gets off to a great start. I know already the pre-sales are through the roof, so I do appreciate all the fans pre-ordering it through our online retailers, our specialty retailers, and both domestically and abroad.
I pre-ordered mine off of Voltron.com.
Sweet. And that's where you got to go. You know, we are very satisfied and happy with the first orders. In fact, the first allotment, we had to push back out because we were hoping to get all of it out before the end of this month, before the factory shut down for Chinese New Year. But unfortunately, we weren't able to get all of it done. And so that would have meant heavy allocations with our retailers, and that would have upset some, and maybe, you know, and for customers and retailers who would not have gotten anything, would have really aggravated them. So to make it a more level playing field, we decided to hold off the delivery until late March, early April now.
And so once again, so fans who have pre-ordered, say I pre-ordered mine on Voltron.com. I'm kind of expecting it. When was it? It was going to be late February or whatnot. Now I'm going to get it. When, George? Late, early April? Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, so once again, fans, don't freak out. It's coming. But George, as always, is doing what's best for everyone. And he wants to make sure that all the comic book shops and other places you might have pre-ordered it have their shot. He doesn't want any kind of Cabbage Patch Kid crazy stuff going on here and people flipping out. So it's all a decision that has the fans and the products best at heart. So
John Tarani had asked if you were going to have any of the vehicle pilots or the line pilots in their regular clothes.
Do you sense a theme here, George?
Wow, I don't know. Would fans actually support and buy that?
This one would.
I would.
Okay, we've got two, three.
Yeah. And they were also asking, Scott O'Brien had asked if there was a possibility of a Lotron Robeast combiner to match a Masterpiece size.
Actually a great episode. I think it was five. Was it five Robeasts, Jeremy?
Yeah, it was like a rhinoceros and just
like
all of them coming together. Yeah, yeah. Privateer Press did a little Lotron figurine. Which I'm proud to say there wasn't a name for it, so I just called it Lotron, and now I love that the fans are calling it Lotron. That's my contribution to the Jeremy era, as those guys called it. So any other questions that aren't, why aren't you doing the girl from episode 8 who went into the haunted house, or, you know, Viceroy Throck or whatnot, or some obscure character. Though the guy from Lotor's New Hitman, that would be cool. The elite pilot. So I'm gonna do that. That's gonna be my campaign. So now let's get to the really random questions, right, Mike? Off Twitter.
Yeah, I have one random question. I don't know. George sounds like a fan. I'm sure he can answer it. One of the questions off the Twitter, Liquid X asks, what would win in a fight, Voltron's Robeasts or Saber Rider's Renegade units?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Wow, this guy's a Saber Rider fan, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want me to answer that?
He wants your answer. I mean, we said give your questions to George.
That's kind of biased because I'm a big Voltron fan at heart, so I'm always going to support my boy there.
Okay.
There you go.
Let me know what you think of it.
I know on our official Saber Rider Facebook page and stuff, they would say that Ramrod was bigger, I think, even than Voltron. So that's up for debate, which was bigger. As we know, the anime was not the best for consistency of sizing in the shows, so it's hard to put an exact figure on that. Maybe when we do the Voltron 30th anniversary book from Viz Media here, we can really sort of end that debate. So that's Peter Cullen versus Peter Cullen, kind of, essentially. two shows there. So, yeah.
Hey, all right. Hey, I have a real quick one here. George, a lot of the people know that Toynami has a license with Robotech and Voltron, and now that we've done a Robotech-Voltron crossover comic, they were wondering, any chance of seeing Robotech-Voltron crossover collectibles or toys?
Well, you know, we're currently gearing up for, not to get off track, but, 2015 is the 30th anniversary of Robotech, and which is the following year. And we're very fortunate to have Voltron this year and Robotech for next year. We're actually developing a lot of stuff for the 30th anniversary of Robotech. And I have been in discussions with Harmony Gold about doing some collaboration together in order for that co-collaboration to work. I think Harmony Gold would still have to talk to DreamWorks, and the two of them would have to figure out a way to see if it was acceptable for one or the other to do one vice versa, or even a conglomerate mashup of the two. So I don't want to say I've never heard of such a thing. I'd be honest to say that we've had some discussions, but it's mostly been on the Harmony Gold side. I've never had any discussions on the DreamWorks front in regards to doing this crossover, though.
Well, me personally, and I'm completely biased, I think we need to see that happen and maybe pack it with some sweet Tommy Yoon artwork. That would be incredible. Any plans for a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive or anything fun with Voltron this year, George?
You know, we're working on it. But again, I need DreamWorks to be on board, and I'm going to be having a meeting with them this coming. Actually, it was supposed to be this month, but it's just too busy. We're going to have a meeting with them next month in February, and hopefully by the end of February, I should have a sense of what we're going to do for the summer, what exclusives we'll have for the show. It's just a little bit too early at this stage. And obviously, I love to have exclusives. The fans would love to come out to get it. Some, you know, premium special products. I think we did that back in 2009 for the metallic Voltron Lion vinyl that we did, and you know, made 1,000 pieces of those that sold out very well. And then I think 2010 we did the vehicle Voltron vinyl, which was also very popular. You know, I can't say that there won't be. I hope that there will be a exclusive for this year. It's just I can't let you know what that is because we're pitching a few ideas and I don't know which one's going to stick, basically.
So basically what I'm hearing a theme here, if fans want to see some of these products, they should just bug DreamWorks Animation on Twitter.
It didn't come from me.
Neither will the fact that I'll tell you that their Twitter handle is @DWAnimation. That's @DWAnimation. Go ahead, Voltron fans, start pounding away and tell them you want to see more cool Toynami stuff. But what are they going to do? Fire me? What can I do?
Yeah. There are still people out there clamoring for a Robeast that's at scale with Voltron.
Yeah, wow. I can stop using my Inhumanoids figure. And,
Metlar.
Saying, decompose. Oh, don't act like you haven't done it, Voltron fans. So what other random weird questions, as if these aren't random and weird enough?
Can I ask a potentially controversial question? Can I jump in here?
Ooh, okay. You're known. This is I don't know if you know, George, but Mike is like the Ken Burns of retro 80s pop culture. So he's not afraid to get in there and land a punch.
But this isn't a punch. This isn't a punch on you, George. I'm actually taking okay. the opportunity with a master toy maker who's clearly proven himself in the market. I have to ask, and this is something that Jeremy told me in November that's on record online.
Uh-huh.
I understand that you have seen the Miracle Vehicle Voltron bootleg, and I was wondering what your thoughts were on its quality, because there's a lot of fans talking about it, but they're not professional toy makers. So I wanted to get your take on it.
Well, okay. I'm glad you asked me that. I mean, I guess for the record, yes, it's true. I have actually one of those. Actually, Miracle Group sent me one. And not to get into too much detail, it goes way back more than 2 years ago. See, years ago, we were thinking about producing a vehicle Voltron as another masterpiece. We never had the chance to exercise that right because our license expired and then Mattel had acquired it. Well then, so this gentleman who actually, Rick, who owns, you know, Miracle, came up with the idea of doing a, you know, vehicle Voltron Diebreaker masterpiece. And in fact, he got his influences or motivation by buying one of our 20th anniversary diecast masterpieces. And based off of that, he said, hey, somebody should do a vehicle Voltron. And although it's not officially licensed, I mean, he, as one toy designer to another, he did share some of those with me from the beginning. And at the time, you know, I didn't see the final product. I saw the designs. And in fact, one of my good friends designed that, Mo. His name was Mo from Hong Kong. He did the CG files and all of the CAD designs for that. It was beautiful when I saw it. This is obviously all before the public or anybody knew of anything of this nature. And I was very shocked. I said, you know, I don't think you guys should do this, because if you don't have the rights to do this, you know, you shouldn't do this. And I kept telling them that they shouldn't do this. So some time has passed. And then all of a sudden I get this box sent to my office, and it's the, you know, Diebreaker Vehicle Voltron. And I'm playing with it, and it literally was falling apart on me. And I was like, are you guys kidding? There's no way you're going to make this. Just please tell me this was a test shot, or you're just sending it to me for my feedback, or what have you. Then it turns out that they told me that this was a, you know, part of the production. And I was like, wow, you know, if this was me, I'd be honest with you, I wouldn't release this. This is not up to my standards. So, you know, I wouldn't put a Toynami logo on this at all. And I guess the reason they wanted to send it to me was they asked me for assistance to see if I could help them sell the product. Jeremy and I had talks about this, and that's probably why you heard it through the grapevine, through Jeremy. I did play with the piece, but, you know, Mo, my friend in Hong Kong who designed it, did a wonderful job. But as you go through manufacturing, there's a lot of stages from original concept to the original, you know, 3D files to just the turnarounds to the actual engineering, the tooling, the manufacturing aspect of it. And I just think although they had great blueprints along the manufacturing aspect of that line, I think they failed in certain quality control areas in the assembly of it and just the production of it. And I think that's where that item falls apart. You know, I wish them well to give an attempt to make a vehicle Voltron, because prior to that, I don't think one was done since the 80s. And of course the one was re-released by Matchbox. But to me, it wouldn't be something I would personally buy. And I'm a huge robot collector. I wouldn't display that in my collection, only because it aesthetically it looked well, but if you run by it or breathe too heavily, that thing will fall apart on you. And I'm sure there's a lot of fans out there who were able to find this on the black market or in Asia. You know, somebody just told me the other day, he got back from Hong Kong. He goes, hey, I picked up one of these for $63. And I'm like, you're kidding me. In the box? He goes, oh, they're blowing it out. And I was like, wow. Okay. He goes, but you know what? It's all broken. I said, well, that's probably why you paid $63. He goes, well, they said it was a new piece, but it's just falling apart on me. And I said, no, it's not broken. That's just how it is. It's just not made well.
Well, there you go. So, hashtag real talk. Don't say George Stone doesn't tell it how it is.
Hey, I love it. I love it.
That's the official Voltron podcast for you, where you get the inside scoop. So subscribe now. But yeah, I mean, that's what I alluded to in the retro blasting interview, that it's unfortunate because it came close, but it just wasn't up to snuff. And if George says that it's not up to snuff, then that's what we go with. And but you vehicle Voltron fans can see you, what is it, John Michael Henry, or what's the guy on the Facebook page who's always very passionate about vehicle Voltron? Yes. We are trying, just things don't quite come together, much like air, land, and sea team sometimes. It just doesn't really click.
If the fans really want to know about the vehicle Voltron, you know, please know I'm a true fan at heart, and if anybody wants to see a vehicle Voltron, it's me. If I have the opportunity to do it and you guys support it and the fans will back it up, I'll produce an amazing vehicle Voltron.
Oh, wow.
We would love
George,
to do
get the petition
George,
going, fans.
You said you were you're a big fan. Of the four shows, which was your favorite? The Lion Force, the Vehicle Force, the Third Dimension, or Voltron Force? Which one did you like the best?
Oh, God, I was not a big fan of the Third Dimension.
Hashtag real talk from Georgia.
No. You know, honestly, I mean, I know WEP, you know, tried their best with it, but I was just not a fan with that. I'm a fan of the old classics, to be honest with you. I originally saw, I think, Voltron, actually Gold Lion, more of a videotape that some guy, a friend of mine, had a videotape. I think it was even not even from Japan, but it might have been from Korea. And I saw this show, and I was like, oh my God, what is this? What is this? You know, lions coming together. It was so cool. And then I think shortly after, the following summer, it was on TV as Voltron. I was like, oh, that's that show. That's that Asian show that I saw. And then I finally realized it was called Voltron, because back then it had some Asian name that I didn't know what it was called. But Yeah, so again, you know, I've got to go back to my grassroots from my memories of growing up as a kid. And although I'm sure there's many renditions of it, to be honest, I know there's a new animated series. I haven't even seen that new animated series that came out a year ago. So I can't comment on that. But even if I did see it, you know, I'd support the old classic shows only because there's something about those old 80s shows that I was watching. You know, I'm still a big supporter of the old classic 80s Generation 1 Transformers. I don't know why. I'm just stuck in the 80s for some reason.
Welcome to the group therapy of us all. I think that's pretty much and 95% of the people listening as well. And George, I'll just say, I'll be one of the fans on Twitter and Facebook and say, if you haven't seen the design of the Voltron Force Lions, it's very, very cool as it has. Did we lose George? Do we have him?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, it just sounded quiet. Sorry. It's very cool design. The pilots are reflected in the lions themselves. I'm starting the campaign right here on the official Voltron podcast for Toynami to do a collectible Voltron Force Voltron, given that we didn't get to have that from Mattel. That's all I'm saying, George. You take a look sometime. And somewhere down the line, maybe for the 35th anniversary, a Generation Voltron, and maybe we could even fit Dracotron and Stealth Voltron, a.k.a. Gerbil Voltron, into this masterpiece lineup of all the off-brand kind of experiences.
Or Voltrex.
Voltrex. That's the one, yes. Do not forget Voltrex in that. So officially I'm starting.
You guys are really reaching on some of these.
Absolutely.
You know, here, I throw you guys an idea, Jeremy, and Mike also, since since you're running Voltron.com now, is, you know, you guys can always take polls. And we can always try to prototype something and give you an estimated price. You know, unfortunately, the market's really changed. I've been in the toy business now for over 20 years. And, you know, back in the traditional days of us selling it to the brick and mortars and specialty retailers, you know, the market's changed tremendously, obviously, with the internet and social media and all that. You see a lot of businesses now going from a traditional B2B business to a B2C business, just because it's just, she's so competitive, and with the economics the way it is, sometimes it's better to make something and sell it at full retail. Now, Toynami is not a manufacturer that does something like that. We're more of a traditionalist, but, you know, there's the Mattels of the world, there's Hasbro's of the world. I think, like, Hasbro sold their Voltron directly through their Matty collector, so it was kind of a B2C business where they sold it directly to the end consumer, and I think that made it up with them. In order for them to justify the investment in tooling to do such a figure, because I know how much I spend for my tooling. It's it's a lot of money to make some of these characters and figures and items that the fans want. And not to say that it's not possible or it's not cost prohibitive, but depending on how you set up the model, maybe there's opportunities for the fans or maybe via Voltron.com to offer something. And, you know, we as Toynami could manufacture it and sell it to you guys, where normal runs for a manufacturer, we have to blow through 10,000 pieces just to make any business sense of it. Now, if we were retailing it, we could definitely sell a lot less to cover up our upfront costs. So I'm just throwing out some ideas. If you guys ever want to do some obscure things that you think you can get the fan support and, you know, maybe not blow through 10,000 pieces, there's other means or ways of structuring it where, you know, maybe Voltron could sell it exclusively online or something. Or we could take it to a show, a couple of the shows that we do a year, you know, just sell it at the shows and then everywhere else online at Voltron.com, just to make some of these items possible. Because I know with retailers today, you know, they're not so supportive of some of these old 80s retros. Their minds are set on the latest blockbuster movies. They rather give their shelf space to something like, something more predominant or more relevant for the time. But that doesn't mean that Voltron's not relevant. It's just that it's retro, and then there's still always a fan or a following for it. So if we can try to strategize ways of making things available directly to the fans, then you could see more product come out.
And to that end, George, would you ever be up for, if fans really wanted a vehicle Voltron, what about a Kickstarter?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we wouldn't kickstart it because we needed the money. But if you kickstart it just to get like a gauge on,
right, on pre-orders,
on how many you could sell pre-orders, then I mean, if WEP is open to that, I'd be more than happy to do it. I mean, we, believe me, it's not, we need money to make a vehicle Voltron. It's just, at the end of the day, you know,
does it make
if
sense?
If you can't sell 10,000 units and you got to sell 10,000 units to make sense, then it might not pan off. You know, with the vehicle Voltron, I think back in 20th anniversary, we sold 15,000 of those. In hindsight, I know I could have sold 25,000 of those, but right, we had already released it with the edition number, each individually numbered and signed their certificate. So we said, well, we hit the 15 and we couldn't make any more. And that being said, for the 30th anniversary, a lot of people were like, oh, so what's the edition number? I said, well, it's not numbered, but it is limited to only this year's product. So we will only produce what we can for the 30th anniversary year of 2014. And after that, we will no longer make it.
Wow. So pre-order now. Now, George, I wanted you to talk just a little bit about, you know, a lot of fans know you obviously through the great Masterpiece Edition, but Toynami does so many other things, from Futurama to the Hello Kitty Street Fighter, Robotech you've mentioned, Skell Animals. What's some other stuff that fans who maybe want to see what other cool things you guys are up to? What are some things on your radar?
Well, for this year, we're actually in discussions right now with two different studios to acquire some new properties. We are, obviously, we still are moving forward with Futurama. We're moving forward with Robotech and Voltron, of course. We're still releasing our lines of Hello Kitty Street Fighter with Sanrio and Capcom. We're in discussions with Warner Brothers for a couple properties. I mean, we currently are already a DC Heroes licensee. We released some DC Skull Animals. We're releasing a DC superhero line vinyl collection this spring. But outside of that, we also are the IP holders of Shogun Warriors. I'm developing a whole comic book series, graphic novel. We're working on a Hollywood script for Shogun Warriors. And it's a lot different than being a robot lover. You know, I had the opportunity to jump on this IP years ago and acquired it. And instead of, you know, trying diligently to bring back the classic 70s Shogun Warriors, we decided to go ahead and totally reinvent it for the modern time, for the current generation. So we're working on that as well. And as you know or may not know, outside of Toynami, you know, I have two other collectible businesses as well. And we've done a lot of stuff in the Hollywood, with the Hollywood studios. This year we released the license with Blade from the Marvel franchise. We're working now with Sony to release three other movies from them. I can't publicly say it yet, but we'll be debuting it at this year's Comic-Con. So, I mean, we're very busy. We're very versatile. We make everything from, you know, your $1 PVC keychain all the way up to, you know, your $5,000 or $3,000 collectible. And everything in between, from plushes to action figures to diecast toys to transforming toys to, you know, backpacks, you name it. We're very versatile, and we cater only to the specialty mass. So that's another reason why a lot of our retailers have the confidence to buy our product, is because our products aren't found in the traditional Walmarts or Targets of the world. And maybe some could argue that that could be a bad thing because it's not as accessible. But in true honesty, you know, you don't want a brand like Voltron in there, to be honest, unless you're going to do some high epic movie, and hopefully one day you will. Right now, classic nostalgia really survives in the specialty mass, because the specialty mass really understands this. Out of all retailers, they understand this the best. And so, you know, we find that Voltron has found its home there, and we want it to stay there. And if we can continue to grow Voltron, as well as all of our other brands, and then that's where we'll be.
Well, that's excellent. I wanted to touch on the packaging, you know, that you guys put into these things. I think that's sort of an underappreciated element to the success. I mean, just like the retro, you know, flavor of it all. So I mean, I think some of the illustrations, I mean, the way you blew out the San Diego Comic-Con and kind of had the old school artists. Who were some of the artists that contributed to the packaging?
Oh, actually, it's so funny. You know, so back in the day, I mean, I'm a big Voltron fan, and I have a lot of friends in Japan who do designs for Voltron. I mean, not for Voltron, but for robots in general. And an old friend of mine, Onaka-san, who actually years ago started in the business doing animation art for the original Transformers for Takara, the animated series. He used to draw Optimus Prime in his sleep. But he currently works for another company now. And I just said to him, I said, hey, you know, I'd love to see a rendition of you doing a Dairuger and a Golion for me. In fact, the artwork that you saw at Comic-Con was an artwork I had commissioned him to do for me 3 years ago, prior to the Mattel license, because we were going to use that for our Golion package. But as you remember, Jeremy, we had to put a halt to it, and we never used the artwork. So I was like, well, okay, you know, I paid a few thousand dollars each to get these things done, you know, and I said, well, it looks good on my wall. I'll just keep it. Never thinking I would have the opportunity to one day, you know, go back and revisit this license. And so when I had the chance to go back and do this deal with Tiffany, I said, oh, well, here we go. It's time to bring back all these old artwork that I had, you know, just kept in my library. Obviously, we could come up with some really great new artwork. And that's what you see on this 30th anniversary box. In fact, when I get another pre-production sample within a week, I can spare one and send it to Mike or Jeremy yourself. If you guys want to maybe videotape the unboxing of it, you can photograph it. It's a gorgeous box. It's like 20 inches by, God, it's huge. Let me see if I can get a ruler. It's a beautifully matte box with UV spot glossing, with gold foiling. I mean, I spared nothing doing this. Wanted the old styrofoam feel. And I mean, my factory was like, well, styrofoam's expensive. Let's just put it in a blister tray. And I said, hell no, you do what I tell you. You put this in the styrofoam. I don't care what it costs. So
I would love to see that video.
That is awesome. We'll make sure that Mike French gets a hold of one of those. He does excellent unboxing and toy reviews. Mike, does that sound like something you could get behind, getting an early copy of the 30th and unboxing it on the official Voltron Facebook page?
Yeah, I could do that. I'd do that in my sleep, and then I'd wake up and I'd do it again.
No, so I'll send it out to you when we get it available later this week. Like I said earlier, you know, we do have some production ready, but we held off on shipping it so that we can make sure that all of our retailers get it at the same time. So I'm just putting a halt to it until we can.
What did you do with the one that you had from on display at San Diego Comic-Con this year?
Well, that was actually a prototype. The one I had on display, the base was a prototype. It was, you know, it was hand-painted, handmade. All the weapons there were castings from the original prototype that we designed from years ago. The Voltron itself was, to be honest, was a 20th anniversary version, just with a new modified head that I redesigned. So funny you say that, San Diego Comic-Con, because it brings back nightmares. I was scrambling. In fact, I was up late till 2 o'clock the night before we headed out to San Diego. You know, as an exhibitor, I head out on Monday to set up on Tuesday because the show opens up Wednesday night. So I remember staying up Sunday night till like 2 a.m. working on soldering that head together. Now, you probably think, oh, wow, you got a whole team of guys. You know, why don't you have your, you know, your engineers or your guys, you know, one of your painters or one of your sculptors to work on that. But to be in all honesty, we're talking about Voltron here. See, So there's a lot of properties that we represent, a lot of properties we produce products for, but there's only one or two of them that are very close to me. And so those I personally want to make sure that, you know, I get my hands in there. I've got to do it the way I have to have it. Otherwise, you know, I wouldn't be willing to display it. I couldn't live with myself, I guess. So I took over that burden, and I took home the piece over the weekend. And obviously, I got busy with my kids over the week. And Sunday night came rolling along, and I'm like, man, I better get started soldering this battery to this LED so I can get this thing going. So it was quite complicated because I took an original head from the masterpiece and basically drilled it all out to get the battery and everything enclosed for what you saw at the show. Luckily, I figured out the engineering designs of it, and we made it for mass production. So what you'll be getting is a piece that I really always wanted to make happen for years. It comes with, I think the box itself will come with the button cell batteries for the head, but you'll have to get some AA or AAA batteries for the base to power the base back on. But other than that, I mean, the size of the box is beautiful. It's like 20 inches by 13 inches by about 6 inches deep.
I cannot wait to see this.
Yeah, it comes with that old classic handle. Now, that I know Matchbox didn't do that, but I remember getting a Go Lion, you know, the one that was made in Japan, and it had that little handle to it. And then, you know, carrying it home from the store was, I had to get into my local Chinatown store. My mom had to drive me all the way down to Chinatown to pick up this thing. That's and awesome. I bought this thing, and I was carrying it down, and I remember opening it up and seeing, you know, all the weapons laying perfectly within the styrofoam. And so this 30th anniversary gift set is a real throwback to the old classic memory. When people hold this in their hands, they'll take it out, they'll see that little handle, and then they'll open up the casing, they'll take off the lid, and then inside is another color printout with a die cut of all the weapons and lions, and with that clear cellophane cover over it, and then they'll move that, they'll take that out to access the lions. And this, it's actually two styrofoam trays. Once they take off the top layer styrofoam, underneath they'll see the base with all the weapons and the badge pin key that comes with it. So I mean, that just the feel of the box, the look of it, and then of course when they take out the die cast lions again, all those memories will flush back into their childhood, and they'll probably think, oh my God, I had one of these. Obviously, they didn't have it because this is the first time we produced it like this. But, you know, they'll relive it. And that's important to me because I want to be able to relive my childhood as much as everybody else wants to. And that's why I wanted to stay true to this. I have to say that I have almost every Voltron in existence, except, to be honest with you, now this has nothing to do with Mattel.
Oh, I knew this was coming.
But I don't own one of those, only because I found out it was all plastic.
Well, yes.
And so when I had the opportunity to do the 30th, I said, no, we got to do this out of diecast. I mean, that's what the heavy fans
metal. Yeah. In defense of Mattel, I think if you made it metal in that size, it would crack a coffee table. But there you go. The lion gauntlet has been thrown down. I hate to even talk that way, George, because you'll just go off and do something crazy like a life-size Voltron here in St. Louis under the arch, actually. If you want to get started on that, would be great, just in time for Wizard World or something. But thank you, George, for being on the official Voltron podcast. We appreciate your candor and your passion soldering Voltron heads at 2 a.m. For fans, and you've always had the fans' best interest in heart, and we know every inch of diecast that you put into that thing is your sweat and tears for Voltron. So on behalf of Bob Koppler and Ted Koppler and all the Voltron fans, I just thank you for everything over the years, and it's so great to catch up with you and hear the behind the scenes stories as well. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, George.
It's my pleasure, Jim. Thank you guys for having me. I just want to put in one last plug. If anybody's coming out to Wizard World, I am. Toynami is trying its very best to see if we can air in some for the WEP booth. So if you're attending the WizardCon there and you want to be the first in the country to get your hands on the 30th anniversary, I don't know how many, you know, WEP is going to air in, but I made a commitment to Tiffany that I'll try to get her something and for sale. And worst case scenario, if we can't manage to pull that off, well, come out to the booth and see one in person, because I for sure can get one on the table for her.
That is fantastic.
If not for sale.
That's news to me. And as a fan, that just really gets me going. What other cons, I meant to ask you, can fans catch you at this year, just off the top of your head, besides San Diego Comic-Con?
Yeah, we're actually, you know, we're not a big trade show toy company. You know, we only do it for the PR, obviously. I've done San Diego Comic-Con since 1990. It's this year will be 24th, right? So it'll be my 24th San Diego Comic-Con. Obviously, you can come out and check us out. Our booths can't miss us. It's 1,800 square feet. But outside of that, we're also planning to do New York this year. So for the East Coast guys who can't make it out to California, catch us in New York. I don't know what the dates are yet, but we'll be out there. And hopefully whatever exclusives we bring to San Diego, we'll have at New York. And outside, besides those two shows, that's basically it.
Wow. Yeah, amazing. And if you haven't seen the Toynami booth in person, which if you've been to San Diego Comic-Con, you probably have, whether it be the life-size, well, not life-size, but the giant Voltron statue. And for more info on where they're going to be and what Toynami is up to, hit them on Twitter, at Toynami World. That's T-O-Y-N-A-M-I World, Toynami World. And, of course, Facebook.com/Toynami or Toynami.com. George, thanks so much for everything you do for Voltron. And for the fans and for being on Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure having you.
Thank you.
Take care, buddy. Talk soon.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Well, that's going to do it for today's podcast. We want to thank, once again, George Soane for joining us, the president of Toynami, and telling us all those great stories about all the great toys that have been introduced by Toynami over the years, the 20th anniversary edition, the 25th anniversary edition. And now we're here at the 30th anniversary edition, which he promises to be the best of all. And I think it will be. I really do. What do you think, Mike?
I think it is going to be awesome. I've always loved the Masterpiece design. I've always preferred it in diecast, but I can't wait to see this special edition of it, because it seems, based on George's interview, that this is what he really wanted all along. And with the retro packaging and the way they're laying it out in styrofoam, it's really going to be the ultimate upgrade, the ultimate evolution of the original Popey Matchbox. I can't wait.
And I was surprised to hear him tell the story about the version that was actually on display at San Diego Comic-Con, which is not really even the true version that we're going to see when we open up the package.
Right. It's got even more improvements than the one that was prototyped. So that's all win for me.
And I can't wait to see a video of you actually opening that package.
I can't wait to see that either, because I just want to see this design at the pinnacle of its form. I mean, it seems like he has a real passion for this particular character, this robot, and he's sharing it with all of us. I have two masterpieces. I have two diecast masterpieces in my collection, but I would welcome the opportunity to look at the 30th anniversary and unbox that for the record.
Well, I did do a pre-order of this 30th anniversary Voltron on Voltron.com, and I can't tell you guys enough. You should go out there and get it. It's $245, and it's worth it. Trust me, you're gonna kick yourself in the butt if you don't get this one.
It's the only die-cast combining Voltron that I know of that can hold the sword with both hands. it really is. It's the only one, and that to me,
right,
is a boyhood dream. It's like, you know, I like the fact that he's got the sword, even though he kind of stands like a wind up toy. but the masterpiece really could, you know, position himself like the character posed on the show.
That's right.
And to me, that's worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see that. I'm also looking forward to actually hearing the sounds and seeing the light up eyes.
Yes, that's going to really add a lot to that piece. It's, I mean, the piece already has gangbusters going for it in the diecast version from 10 years ago. But the light up eyes, the blades, the sound effects, the key, the bass, it's more than I could have hoped for.
Right.
And then the packaging. I'm actually excited about the packaging. Tell the geek I am for these robots. I'm excited to see the box.
Let's talk some more Voltron, and let's do it next week. What do you think?
I'm ready for it. Let's do it.
All right. Thank you for joining us once again, Voltron fans. This is Mark Morrell and Mike French signing off. Let's Voltron!